Rosanna?
Sure. March 2015, FPOM.
Joe, we wish you were here.
Yeah, I'm going to multitask.
Yeah.
Right.
Good luck with that.
We know how that works.
I hope you got a fishing rod in your hand if you're multitasking.
Fortunately not.
Anybody else on the phone?
I want
to get coffee. Eric Cocker.
These girls go?
Yep.
There's no change. Yeah. Baking all last night.
All right.
I did not have time to bake. I am sorry.
What were you doing? It's not saying pass it.
I'll be buying
them
tomorrow, too.
That's
not my fault.
Oh, really?
All right, well, let's...
load out there.
Oh, yeah.
Let's look at the agenda real quick. Is there? You had some add-ons, I know. What are they?
We have some add-ons. So I think under updates, Greg was going to give an update on the Little Goose Fishway controls. And then when we get out under coordination notification, we've got... Ice Harbor OG post-construction that was mailed out yesterday.
Yep.
And we have two lower granites related to the construction there. That's kind of a new format that Bill asked for, so we'll want some feedback on if that's meeting people's needs. I don't know. Is Bill going to be coming today? Do you guys know Hevlin?
We haven't heard he's not.
Okay.
We might call him with this.
Okay. So,
I got a couple, too.
Okay, so why don't you
go ahead. What else you got?
I think that's it for us for ads at this point.
Two ads for us, just an AFF update from us, just checking to make sure that they're all our guys are all coordinating with you. And then, you know, I've got to ask, S&P contract.
We have that. I think we have that on here somewhere.
It's on there.
I didn't hear Mr.
Okay.
Bailey had called in, but he should be joining us.
RFP.
Yeah, we definitely want to talk about that.
Yeah, and then I'm assuming...
And I'm on the line, John Bailey.
Okay, good, John.
And then we're going to talk to OG construction delay update. And
yep.
I'm covered.
Okay.
You guys got any?
No, I think I added several already. So.
Okay.
I was wasting.
Well, before we get started, let's do our introductions. Starting with Mr. Lors.
Lors, Crickfoot.
Van Dyke, Oregon.
Bernard Klatt with the Corps.
Tammy Mackey, Corps.
Scott Benton, BPA.
Gary Fredericks, NOAA.
Trevor Condor, NOAA.
Lisa Wright, Corps.
Ann Sutter, Corps.
Bob Cordy, Corps of the Dallas.
Eric Rovner, Corps.
Robert Morgan, Oscar County.
James Fink, McDonald, Jacob Sissons. Ben Harris, Corps. Ben Hausman, Corps of Idaho.
Jessica Viejo. Bob Hertheimer, Corps of Engineers.
All right. Well,
report.
Thanks everybody for calling in and coming in. Any comments on February's meeting minutes, or can we consider them?
I've not looked, but I'm going to assume that Tammy's done her excellent job with this, and I'm okay. I'll double check here.
I like.
You live on the edge, don't you?
Can you say that too? You didn't look at it, but you.
I looked at them.
You're saying our excellence is going to.
I'm good with them.
Okay.
And Darth Vader on the phone. You might want to mute.
Yeah.
Somebody's breathing hard onto the phone.
Just saying you work hard here.
He's young Darth Vader, I guess.
Yeah, young and the old.
So, Joe, do you have any comments?
No comments at this point.
All right. Thanks. Okay. Consider them approved. Starting right into the action items, Sam, what do you got here?
So I brought one copy. We didn't remail the McNary debris plan at our last meeting. I think there was two parties that said they were going to provide some written comments, NIMS and Kutfik, and I never saw those. I'm willing to resend out what we put together, which was to try to just answer some of the questions that came out. I didn't, like I say, send that out. I will give an update that I hope you're reading this carefully, because I didn't get a lot of buy-in that people felt there was a lot of quality here, and that's very different than I felt as we laid this out. You know, we have some things that are hard and fast in here that we haven't had in the past. Even though they're routine, we have planned outages, and this is something that, you know, at that project we've struggled with for a long time, and we're hoping that it materializes and makes a big difference. And so I just want to bring that to your attention.
We thought it was a good step forward.
Yeah.
We had a couple, and I said we had some questions about a few things here.
Yeah. Some of the long-term stuff, yes, for dates, and we don't, you know, those are things that the last two construction trash shear boom, you know, that would require long-term funding. Same thing of a construction project to allow changes to the TSW. Both things that we don't have any funding lined up for. You'd have to work those through SCT.
Yeah, and like log, we were asking about log booms and that kind of stuff.
So. And, you know, the log bronc, we're still working to acquire that, although we have the update here as we get into updates, and so we'll talk a little bit about what we've done so far. So I guess I'd say that if people do have some other comments or anticipate it, maybe you let me know. Otherwise, maybe I should just send out this revised draft again.
What's your deadline? Drop dead date for that. Do you want to give another week or something like that? Or?
I think you want to. If you want to tell me that you're going to provide more comments, let's push it out. If you're going to tell me that you just want me to give you this.
I can get you other comments by Friday, or if you want to send that out, we can comment. Whatever works.
Friday of this week? That's tomorrow.
Yeah,
it's not. My comments are all written up. I've got them. It's one of those things like you write them up in hand thing, and then somehow magically trying to write them and send them just takes forever.
So are yours in track changes, or are they just separate?
I just send them in. I just have it as a document.
Okay.
And I'm just going to cut and paste that in an email and try to make it to you super easy.
Okay.
If that works, if you want track changes, I can do that.
Well, I mean, there's nothing that's going to change. Can you give us a week?
Sure.
Let's do that.
Okay.
You do realize by that I'm not going to do it tomorrow.
You can get it in early
next week.
Tell him he has to have it Friday. They get
I'll make an action.
What date would that be? Like the 23rd or something?
God damn it, I forgot.
Yeah, 13/7/20th. I guess so. March 20th.
March 20th. Fine.
Okay. I'll add it to my. Okay. Thanks. That's pretty much it for that one.
I know. I looked at
right on. One action.
It was emailed right before.
Somebody needs to mute as well. We have a little bit of noise in the background.
That's us.
Thanks. So no action items for Portland. Some completed action
you
items.
You are a non-action group, aren't you?
I'm no action.
That was nasty.
So the first one was the corner collector opening.
Thank you, by the way.
That worked out well.
Yes.
Second one was the ad clip for Chinook, and looks like the tack, the adult counts split by species and clips on clip. They're needing them.
Ready for Jackson.
Is there any discussion on this? Are we okay?
No. By the way, for your reference, Stuart Ellis in our shop is the head of tack. He's the tack
chair
this year. Chair. So if you have questions for tack, email it to him.
Okay.
And thanks for your help on that, Tom.
No worries.
The ultimate
decision. Yep.
So let's move right into our updates with Walla Walla.
Okay. I think the first one is the McNary Washington fish ladder leak. That was around the window. They're watching that. There really is nothing that's changed. We don't anticipate that becoming a problem.
Stop leaking, or is it still leaking?
What is it?
There was a corner when they watered up that they had a small drip around.
We did talk about that.
And so at this point, that hasn't changed, that it hasn't become anything that's not manageable. Right.
Or seal up.
And, you know, we have we will be having some long-term change there. Carl has some medical issues, and we expect him to retire the end of May, but he is not really on site much at this point in time.
Carl
Duggar. He has a long-term issue that is treatable. However, we likely won't see him again. So we will be having a recruitment out for that. And he is doing a little work from home with his supervisor, but there is no interface with us kind of face-to-face or even email and stuff at this point in time.
So Bobby, or who's going to be the...
Right now, the chief of ops is our contact directly, and then he works through. Bobby is obviously still on site, but, you know, Carl technically is still the bio.
Still the bio, right, but who's going to be... Yeah, who do you call? It's going to be the issue.
Well, you can certainly try calling. You should probably call us first at this point.
First.
Yeah.
Or Greg.
Yeah. You should call us at the office, and then we can
I usually do anyway,
work
but,
through.
I mean, that's usually, but still, there are things that come up.
Well, you're often wanting on-site specific information. I guess as that goes, I mean, I'm actually hoping that that's a place where we in third floor ops there will become more proficient myself, actually, as time goes on. You know, my job description's changing or I'm losing the business line manager position, and some of what I'm anticipated to do is be up to speed on the projects, which will give me the opportunity to go out and interface more regularly so that I can better understand some of the issues. So, I mean, that's a few months down the line still, but, you know, we are working towards, we have new staff at both Granite and Goose, and I think, you know, where we have the opportunity, they're open for having that interface and building kind of networking communication with folks. I know when we brought it up last time, travel was an issue, but if we can make an effort, you know, through a fish passage season to have a meeting or when you're coming over for another to go out to each of these projects and just directly shake hands, talk to people, I think it will help us all out. So I would encourage that we think about that. So the next one is the McNary debris spill with the log bronc. I can give that, but were you planning to give that, Greg? Answer, no. So we were successful.
I was on mute. I talked a little bit to Bill this morning about it.
Okay.
Okay, well, what I got from Bill is if he would have gotten the log bronc about 2 to 3 weeks earlier, the problem would have been a lot easier to do. There was just a delay in getting that bronc was one of the biggest problems, because when he first saw it, it was 75 to 100 foot long debris field out there, about a foot thick, he said. It was pretty good, and so they got to get something done. But in the 2 to 3 weeks of getting the bronc down from Granite, it took the whole picture changed. It looked like it was maybe only about 30 foot wide, you know, and they didn't think it was that much of a problem. But they did receive the bronc. They brought the bronc in, and when the bronc started going at it, they found that this was all compacted. The small woody debris really got packed up really nice and tied up against the structure there, and they're having a hard time breaking it up with that little bronc. You know, the little bronc's got a little hook on the very front of it. They throw it out there into the pile. They use that to break it up, and so they can move right into it and bring chunks of it out at a time. Well, when they finally moved into it, you know, they finally got some of the chunks out and tried to move it to the north, up to the spillway area, and you know, it was really tough to pull. They finally got pieces of it up that direction, you know, a good chunk of it at a time to bring it up there, open up the spill gates, and, you know, let it spill at that time. This was repeated, but they closed the gates at each time, repeated this activity, and went back and forth for 2 days to get this stuff done. So that's the trick that they learned at this time. You know, it looked like if they don't get on it right off the bat, it compacts. And this, like I said, it compacted up to about 6 foot deep. And the north wind just basically compressed it right in one little area there. So what they need to do is get right on this right off the bat, and they hope that as soon as they get this new bronc specifically dedicated to McNary, hopefully this year, they'll be able to get onto it a lot faster, a lot sooner at this time.
Okay, so thanks. They cleared the forebay?
It cleared the forebay. They're happy. Good job, John Day.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Ann.
Yes.
Is it possible you could leave the bronc at McNary all the time and Lord Granite can borrow it?
No. Lord Granite has pretty strong ownership. That's why it took McNary 3 weeks to get it down there. So they started at our last meeting.
Do they use it as much?
They use it.
They use it.
Yeah, they do use it. So that's why we were getting the other one, because
if we don't need $2 million bronc, that would be great. But if we do, we do.
We do, and right now the estimate is $700,000. We really do. Okay. So I guess at this point, Greg, do you want to move into an update on the Little Goose fishway controls?
I was checking up on the fishways here and found out that they claimed that they had it installed by the first of this month they're going on. And they actually did have it installed, this new fishway control that they put in there, because the old system with a 486 computer is way out of date. And it just doesn't do the trick.
I think I still have
it. Yeah, okay, but they went ahead and used it and checked it out manually before the system was up and running, you know, before we watered up on the 1st or whenever they did, the 26th, I think it was when they watered up. And they said, yeah, it looks like it's all programmed correctly. However, when they actually started working out, they had, there's a number of problems that were developed during the first week of use, and the weekly report doesn't come up with the problems that when I called them up and asked them about it, if it's actually working about it. But find out that at nighttime it actually closes some of the weirs at night, and so, you know, I said, now wait a second, you guys haven't told us the truth. Is this thing working or not? And so they've had to put it in the manual mode at this time. When it's in the manual mode, it looks like it's working pretty doggone good, of course. But I said, well, that's not the way it's going to have to be. We've got to put this back in sort of an automatic mode to look at changing tailwater conditions.
So, Greg, the bottom line is we got 1 month and it's back out of manual into automatic. Greg.
I didn't catch that.
One bullet. The message here is it's currently in manual, and within a month it will be in automatic?
Yeah, by the 24th of March it should be back in automatic, because there's some people out there within the next couple of weeks to check things out again.
Great, thank you.
Greg, I have a quick question. What does that do for your criteria violations running in manual mode? Is everything perfect, or are you running out of criteria?
They said that they were in criteria when they put it in the manual mode. You know, they set it for what the career, you know, for the depth, differentials, etc. However, if flows change, whatever changes, they'd be out of that period of time until they can read it again.
Okay.
That happens. Just like at Lower Monumental, which Lower Monumental, as a side note, is back in order right now and is working pretty good. So just wanted Trevor to know that, too.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Finally.
Yes, finally.
So you've only been here a couple of years. You can't say finally like that. Come on, you got to be at least 10.
I've been here 5 or
tentatively, no.
Wow.
And Lord Grant's looking at improving theirs, too.
Finally.
Already.
Finally.
So, do we have Derek Fryer join the call? No.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
That's how old you are.
Derek,
you're forgetful.
You're next on the agenda for an Ice Harbor OG construction delay update.
Okay. Well, a couple things have happened since we talked about this at Fitterwig. The Corps has talked with the contractor and gone over their remaining schedule. The contractor is planning on having the bulk of the work wrapped up and out of there so that spill can start on April 3rd. And the Corps let the contractor know that that's pretty much the way it's got to happen. They didn't see any issues with this. They seem to be on track for making that happen. A couple of milestones that you might jot down in the notes. March 9th, demob started. March 10th, they started to remove the sheet pile for the cofferdam. Looks like they're on track to start removing the bridge or the trestle on March 22nd. And Trevor and I were out there yesterday, and the foreman made it sound like there should not be an issue them getting the bulk of the work done and out of the way before spill starts on April 3rd. The things remaining that they will be leaving to come back and do it after the spill season is some concrete patching on some of the pier walls on the outside, or not affecting anything with flow or fish, and then the removal of the footer beam that's currently planned on being left in place, which is approximately 30 feet directly below the deflector. A couple other things, I talked with our hydraulics folks, and we're going to develop a contingency spill pattern just in case they're not out of there by April 3rd. I put in a request to have hydraulics do just kind of a dry lab effort on developing what our spill pattern possibly could look like if we didn't have Bay 2 to operate out of, Bay 2 or Bay 3. So if anybody has feedback or suggestions on that, please get a hold of me and we'll talk with the hydraulics guys. But we're kind of just looking in the fish passage plan and looking at, if you look in the fish passage plan, there's some spill patterns are laid out there for the 30% and the 45K and gas cap at night, which is the plan for April 3rd to April 28th. So
you would still try to spill 45K during the day?
I that would be the goal of the dry lab effort, but I don't know how that's going to turn out. That's more of a hydraulics thing than I can answer, but I think that would be the intent.
So when are you going to have a draft of that you could send out for these guys to review?
I don't know. I need to touch base again with hydraulics, so I don't have a time frame for that, but it's a priority, so we're going to try and get it out and have people review it and give us some feedback before spill starts.
So you've got 7 bays you can spill with.
And right. My just initial conversation was kind of taking the pattern we have, and because bay 10 is not used a whole lot, and bay 3 generally is not used a lot until you get up into a lot higher spill, so there might be an opportunity to shift that pattern north.
Yeah. And for you're talking about that for up through
We'll be starting on the 3rd.
Right.
Until they're done.
The third, they're going to be perfectly done.
Hopefully they're done. Yeah. At most, I think it would be a week to 10 days, but I think it would probably likely just be a few days.
That's my question.
Yeah.
The likelihood is very high that they're going to be done.
The maximum number of days and the date would be?
About 6.
They don't know.
About 6 days.
Nobody knows.
They don't know.
Well, the thing that's going to throw a wrench into this that he didn't mention is just weather. So, you know what, they have to take the crane that's on the trestle off. If we have wind that interferes with that, that could set them back a couple days. But the contractor, once they get that crane off and bring another crane in and is removing the trestle, they're going to be moving quickly. And if they need to, they won't do all the organized dismantling and putting on trucks. They'll just get the stuff out of the way and do that later, which is additional work for them and cost to the Corps just to be out of there on time.
Yeah, I was just trying to, the risk is the issue, so I was thinking about predator response, temperature. I don't know what the river temperature is right now, but you could look at that and say how risky is this.
Maybe it's not very, if you could spill 45K through those bays, it won't be very risky.
That's the point.
High spill passage.
But you may not be able to spill 45K because there won't be 45K in the river.
Yeah, well.
That's another issue.
You have to spill 45K anyways.
Well.
Or as close to as you can.
You're going to go powerhouse minimum.
Powerhouse minimum.
Everything else is
fairly. You got 11 or whatever it is.
And I think if we go back and look at the 2002 bulk pattern.
In April.
There's something like that. We didn't, because in the bulk pattern we didn't use bays 1 and 2, but we used 3 through 10. This doesn't allow us to use 3, so
it'd be a little bit. So the question is going to be, when you put something out, where do you shift the bay 3, or do you shift the whole pattern northward?
Shift it all.
Okay, that's kind of what it looked like with the pattern that's in the fish passage plan.
Yeah, I think you'd be fine.
So, hopefully, Derek, maybe by the end of next week, if it's looking like there's any chance at all that this would be needed, you could get this out so folks could review it and have some weigh in.
Sure, yeah, I'll put that down as a goal.
Hey, Derek Ann?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is Russ. Good morning. Have you thought about, we discussed it at FPAC, and we thought about the possibility of if they needed this extra time now, and I'm trying to come up with a spill pattern, if we could think about setting these days while they're finishing up this work as the 30% spill days and use some of the ones that we get into that wonderful alternating pattern later in the year, if we could just use some of these days as 30% spill days while they're getting this work done with some of those north spill bays in a flat pattern, and then come back. And once we start getting an alternating pattern, just switch and continue more 45K gas cap night days until we're caught up again, as we would over the course of the season, as an alternative, and trying to force a 45K gas cap, or, and it is a likely possibility, is a one turbine and then spill the rest operation. Have you guys thought about that option? What that would look like?
I think, Russ, Scott Benton's sitting here, and Scott, do you want to reply from a BPA standpoint?
No, we can consider it. That's not a problem. We just need to see what, you know, what we're faced with.
The only thing is if you can do 45K, it'd be better, because 30% without a RSW isn't that good.
Right, but we
will know as we're getting closer. We'll have low mo, and we'll see if there's fish, a lot of fish present. If there are, then I think we stick with what we got. If there aren't a lot of fish present, then maybe we go to the 30%.
Okay. Yeah.
If it makes it easier for the contractor to get his stuff done.
Yeah.
But I think, so Derek, my plan would be is like keep your 45K, whatever you guys are going to dry lab, and then take a look at what a 30% might look like, a spill pattern without the RSW, and just keep those two in your back pocket. Hopefully we won't need them, but if we do, once we get close to that day, we can take a look at what the fish are doing and say which one makes the best sense to implement.
We're talking about contingencies here,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Totally, because the assumption moving forward should be that there's very low risk in the schedule at this point that we won't meet our spill
requirement.
Yeah,
but watch out, it gets locked in by the judge.
Yes. Hey, that's a good idea.
So a question,
though. So, Derek, the only thing I got to ask you, did you lose my email? Because Trevor got the invite to go up and look at Ice Harbor, and I didn't. I'm a little hurt by this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I had sent out an email inviting people to come out, and then there was a short time turnaround, and Trevor wanted to drive out.
I just said I'm going.
I hurry up and made a quick trip.
So, Derek, how many days did we save by not taking out the beam?
Oh, God.
About a week to 10 days. There was bolts every 18
days.
I think they told us 9 days or so. It was about 9 days at Fairway. I don't know if that number's changed or not.
Yep.
It was like, they could do the 18th, then without it, it was the 9th, so about 9 days.
So there's still, and he didn't mention that, you'll still have the opportunity at the next Fitterwig to weigh in on that, because that's still on the table for a long-term option. I think they probably talked to you guys about that a little bit at Fitterwig. It doesn't really appear, based on where it's at, and maybe you have some other feedback, Trevor, from being on site, that from a hydraulic standpoint, that even though we don't have direct data, that this is likely to be an area.
I'm feeling better about it after seeing how close it is to that deflector and how deep it is.
Right.
But I still would like to see some of the wall-to-wall hydrologists, you know, get some drawings of where the flow vectors are going to be going, what the intensity of those flow lines is going to be, how many feet per second are we talking coming by that thing, a little bit of CFD or, you know, at least our initial take on that, so we can sort of get a little better feel of how that back roll is going to come across.
So have you put that in writing back to Fitterwig, or will you?
We just talked about
it
this morning.
Okay,
yeah,
I think
we just started talking about it.
Put it in writing so that they will address it. I think that's fair enough.
If I get agreement from Derek that they'll do that. Derek, is that all right?
Yeah, I need to talk with hydraulics about it, but I've got that in the notes to request, so I'll forward that along.
So the PMs are actually the people that facilitate resources, and if
right.
you send comments to a PM, it's a little easier. I mean, Derek can go to hydraulics and ask. Derek doesn't have the leverage to make someone in hydraulics perform tasks.
Well, he seems to have enough leverage to get to go for a trip out to Ice Harbor.
Kind of walk out on it and everything.
I mean, if this was a formal request through Fitterwig,
it was smooth.
I think that's
okay too. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
usually
PM will
we
be
do
there.
Things
yeah.
like this.
Yeah, that's
just
fine.
Request through Fitterwig that you'd like to see either CFD or
yeah.
or a model run. I mean, there is a model sitting down in Mississippi that could be used for this.
I'm not sure the sensitivity is going to be there for what you're looking for, though, because it isn't the issue how much velocity is really going to be that close. It seems like it's going to be very low
it's
and
more
slow.
It's
it would
the
be
back
there.
Roll.
You could use it, not the general model, but the sectional model.
Yes. Oh, the
but
sectional.
It's not going to have the new OG in it.
Right.
So you would have to
build
the either.
Yeah, before we go down that road,
spend some money and
build see a picture first.
So CFD
okay.
or that.
So yeah. you caught that, Derek. Do you need
I
that?
I did, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
So did you do the slide test?
I did not.
To the baby butt?
That was good. I wasn't going there.
Carl wasn't there to wash me down.
So, John, are you still on? Are you ready to give an update on the Snake River Condition Monitoring RFP, the Swamp Monitoring Contract?
Yeah, I can do that. Currently, the solicitation closed in the last week of February, and is... the technical assessments have been completed. and it's in process of being reviewed, and no contract has been awarded at this point. And that's pretty much where we are right now.
Are you working to award a contract with people that applied?
Well, there were responses, and the
selection board
process, right? The bids or whatever were evaluated, and so they still have to go through review, like all the contract language reviewed by our attorneys, and making sure all the money is in place. All those kind of typical details are currently being reviewed.
So, John, what's the schedule for all this?
What is the schedule, meaning like when it will be awarded?
Right.
It should be any day now, but we've been waiting for the last few days and have not seen it.
Any idea how many responses they had?
How many what?
How many responses? How many bids? How many people?
Well, when we had the initial pre-solicitation, there were four companies that were interested. Uh-huh. And I really can't get into any more than that at this point.
Okay. I understand.
All right. Okay, thanks, John.
Well, that was a non-issue.
And
well, it's not a non-issue, it's just there's, we can't know anything about the issue.
I think there has been some contacts made at higher levels from both CRIPFIC and WDFW to both our division and our district engineer related to this, and so there are some follow-up discussions that are anticipated probably early. I think there, at a minimum, there will probably be some questions and discussion on how, you know, quality assurance and some of these types of things, and how well, you know, you interface, you know, all the things that we've talked about as this was coming out. And so
Well, we can't wait to see how you're going to deal with the permit issue. That's what I'm
Well, that's what we're talking about, and that's why I was hoping to get a little more information today about this, on what was going to happen.
Well, I think obviously, until they choose a contractor, that's not going to be discussed.
Any day now is what's anticipated.
But you will recall, John was at the last meeting, and he had some confirmation from the federal permit issue that there was not likely to be a problem in acquiring that. So
getting a little late for that.
Yeah, it's
what's your turnaround time?
There is no permit. I mean, there's a permit for a small monitoring program.
Right. No, I mean, 1 week, I think, is what John was told the last time he inquired. Officially, you know, is what the needs would be. We don't know whether these.
It takes a week.
We don't know what these potential contractors have been looking at as they're moving forward. We're going to have to wait until there's an award, and then obviously.
A lot's going to depend on how this works, what the mechanics are of, you know, integration, and who handles fish, when, how, for what purpose, all that needs to
I think
be
it's going to be something that I'm sure will be discussed as the questions come in. Quality assurance of fish handling and data integrity are obviously really high up there.
Those are, so we're talking any day now. When that happens, when we finally start getting some clarity on this, let's get another group together to talk, because this is a big issue, I think, visually. We all have our letter. Which doesn't say very much other than I like the idea of EPA picking this
up. John, so you're hearing that once we have an award, there's a request that we set up a teleconference and allow a little bit further vetting on just our path forward and some of the how, you know, what that would mean. We'd like to have the new contractor on board as well to help people understand the path forward.
Yeah.
So that'll be...
There have been some discussions in regard to that ahead of time. I know Charlie Morrow and I have discussed informally about meeting beforehand on how things would work. And then being there the first day of sampling at Lord Granite on the 26th of March.
So we need to get everybody involved, not just Washington.
That's what happened so far.
And John, it's, you know, I don't want to have a meeting when there's still a ton of questions, but I also don't want to have a meeting after everything's set in stone. So that's, you know, you got to kind of.
So John, the message here is once you get award, we need to set up a teleconference, have the contractor as part of that, and then allow the agencies to ask questions and have the related discussion.
Yeah. Okay.
So given like the time, next week.
Given the time,
next week
stuff,
at the earliest.
Latest, because you got waters up here.
Yeah, I have a question about this because given the schedule that's listed in the RFP, I'm curious how rigid the Corps will be about that. The expectation of the contract. That it's awarded to.
Date,
yeah.
What's the rigidity of that?
Well, I think that you've heard some discussion here, and we're going to have to hear what kind of prep people were able to do before they received the contract award to be able to facilitate the actual work. So before anybody can go out to a project and handle fish, they've got to have the appropriate permits in hand, right? So that alone,
that's an issue.
That's going to be a primary issue, and then assurance that the staff are trained and are making an effort to work successfully with the other program on site, all things that are large concerns.
That's right.
So we will intend, I would expect, that sometime by mid to late next week we would be having this teleconference.
Okay. 16th is
next. Okay. The next one is just brief. I know you guys were asked by Randy at SCT. We are still on track for the Lower Granite rental pump to put them on site for July 1 through September 30th. We do have a PM that's finally engaged as of a week ago and getting started on that scoping. He is anticipating putting out a contract, starting the work through contracting here in early April. What that would allow is a little bit broader time frame for the pumps. So with the short time frame last year, the way it got, we really had minimal response. And so he's going to go out a little broader. What they found was that we were really only operating at 10% efficiency on the pump curve last year. And so, you know, you can come back now, but that's what was available, you know, in the time frame. So with this longer time frame, we're hoping maybe we can get a little bit better quality there. So we're just going to have to see. It could also mean that we won't get anything and we'll have to go back out, but we should have time to do that. As well, what that allows is that if somebody has one on the East Coast, they technically have time to ship it out here for our use, too, which we didn't have last year.
Did you get the electrical work done?
The electrical work is, okay, so the Corps still has the same constraints on resources within the district. The project electrical staff is doing design. It's going to be reviewed. They're making good progress. And in the informal meeting a week ago, that looked like that was tracking. The actual implementation will be done by project staff again once it's approved with the district technical staff that everything will work electrically as designed.
Do you have a date for when they think they're going to have the electrical stuff set up? I'm assuming it's going to be before the pumps are there, but
we don't at this point because there hasn't been an official schedule. One of the problems has been that the money transfer from Lower Granite to the PM to become an official project within the Corps has not taken place yet. And so there's some procedural things that are slowing that down. I think we have a good small project PM. He's a mechanical engineer. And seems to be very proactive, and I don't know whether you've seen him on other projects. This is my first opportunity interfacing with him, but I was impressed. David Claver is how it's spelled. So
who's the PM on the pumps?
David Claver.
Oh, Claver. He's the pump and the electrical?
It's one project. The electrical, the lead for us is going to be an electrician out at Lower Granite who's doing the design, but the design has to be reviewed within the district by people with a little bit more experience, and then the implementation will again take place out at Lower Granite with their staff. That was the only way we could get the electrical done.
Yeah. So no, I have no problems with that. If we can just keep that on the FPOM so we can keep getting updates on this, because I would hate to be in a situation where
the electrical drags, and then that changes. We have to go back to diesel pumps. Yeah, so we plan for electric pumps, and then, oh, we can't get the electrical in, so now we got to go back to diesel. I don't want us to get the same situation we had for whatever reason last year. We seemed to get buggered up, and things seemed to get kind of jammed up there at the end.
Are you saying this is in the design phase?
The electrical is in the design. From the standpoint of pumps, the PM, who is a new PM to us for this project, was going to look into the fact that it was the project electrical that pointed out that you'd only been in the 10% efficiency range. And so the PM is like, yeah, you know, seems like we could go out with a request that's broader and ask for better performance. We don't know what's available from a rental standpoint here on the West Coast, but with if we give it an appropriate time frame, they could bring them from Texas or Georgia or wherever they needed to. So that's where we're headed.
Yeah, so do you reasonably expect this to happen this year?
Oh, they'll get pumps there, but our concern is that we're not sure which pumps.
Your usual.
Or they can run.
Well, the constraint, the biggest constraint on this was the electrical. No, it's not at all the usual.
This is
really a service contract with a little bit of design needed. The project really wants this as well. As you guys are aware, and that's where we're moving next, with the construction at Lower Granite, there's some big issues in terms of footprint and being able to just do routine tasks because of all the other things going on. So, you know, room to have like a diesel generator and all this fueling, and then the risk for fueling hazardous waste issues, they're huge. The project really doesn't want to deal with those at all. So I anticipate success here.
So I'm just requesting to keep this on the FPOM.
Yep, monthly updates.
Get updates and if need be.
We can get an idea of when you think it'll actually be
done. Well, I made clear is they have to be functional July 1. Which means they probably have to be on site a week or two ahead so they can work through all the quality assurance and everything's working type thing. And that seemed doable, but the PM immediately started moving into, wow, I have to go to contracting here by early April. And then, it's taken a couple months for me of trying to get a PM on board, but then we still have the project, getting them the funding to actually do work, etc. So I hope we're moving, and we are tracking it.
Yeah,
it's pretty high.
Because this is going to be a low flow year, and if the fall ship numbers are half what they say they are, this would not be a good year to have problems.
This is
it'd be a great photo op for some people, but I prefer not to have that photo op.
Yeah, we're hoping that, you know, that if we can get other pumps, that we may even be more effective with some of the temperature issues. We'll just have to kind of wait and see. With that, I don't know if we have Scott Fielding or David Trachtenberg on the phone.
Hey, Anna, it's Scott.
Okay, do you want to give an update on Lower Granite JFF construction?
So construction is progressing rather well. They are busy drilling piers between the adult ladder and the JFF. So they basically drill a pier and pour it within about a 24-hour period. So they're busy working all of those. As far as the fish screen slots, I have a call at 10 that I will be on, and I can provide you with an update at the end of FPOM. One of the MOCs deals with some piers and pouring that needs to go on near the fish ladder, and the other MOC is going to lay out a little more about being able to update FPOM on exactly what's been going on. So that would be the update for Granite.
Okay, thanks. So hopefully you're off your call and able to rejoin us when we're there.
I hope so.
Okay. Question?
Yeah, Bill, are you on the phone? Evelyn?
Okay, so when we get down to the FPP change forms, we'll have more discussion.
Yeah, Gary, I'm on the phone.
Oh, good. Oh, good, good, good. Okay.
So Bill had
thank you.
Bill had asked that the color-coded diagram be again distributed that I handed out last time. I did update that, and I was going to just hand it out when we got to the forms. I could pass that around. And at that point, we can also talk about other MOCs that we have had requests for that we don't yet have on the schedule. So I think with that, the final thing for Walla Walla here was just a sort of adult fish counts continue, and was there any questions related to that? Mr. Moody, I think you put this on. Did you have any quick bullet that you wanted to mention related to adult fish count, either you or Mr. Wertheimer?
Not really on this one. I just wanted to inform you upon we started counting the first of this year, this option year.
Okay, great.
That's all.
Thank you. So you're ready to go, Bern.
All right. Thanks. Bob, you didn't have anything to add to that?
Nope.
We're good to go. All right. And he'll be providing updates soon on the quarter collector kelp. So 121 is maintenance. And in the maintenance, we have the backup AWS survey completed.
No, it's not completed.
No, it's not completed.
It's
right before it starts to spill.
April 9,
right, John?
April 9 and 10.
April 9 and 10, that's, is that right, for that survey?
Yes, for the velocity survey, and they would like to course
the course bill.
We have a change to that MOC.
Yeah, there's an MOC.
This is you, John.
There's a recovery.
Okay, so the change to the MOC is simply an additional half day of survey on either April 9th or April 11th. Well, it doesn't really matter for this. They want to shoot the wall and look at the plumbus of the wall and the footing where they're going to construct.
Do you really want to know what day they should be picking?
8.
There you go.
Do you have fall reference 8?
Yes. Yeah. It's not shot down spill to do a survey. They could do force spill.
No. Well, we're talking about that.
They're really spill?
Yeah. They proposed it.
This is in the forebay.
All right.
This is the forebay. Oh, okay. No change to operations.
Oh, that'll see it. I don't think it matters one way or the other.
It's worse than
a lot more fish there on later than earlier, but
2 days shouldn't make
any difference.
The MOC says April
8th.
I'm
surprised you're
not.
What do you guys want?
We want flexibility for both.
Yeah, I don't think there's a big impact here. So,
I mean, if it doesn't matter,
Okay.
You're done
with it. Anybody have a problem with it? All right, no problem. Done. Changing the T11-12 outages.
Same thing.
Any problem with that? No problem. No problem. Changing T11-12. Is anybody calling from the small project team from Portland to talk about the Fish View building roof? Karina?
Did you have a problem with the 11-12 switch? Mm-hmm. You didn't have a problem with the 11-12
no.
switch?
Awesome. It's the same thing one way or the other. So I mean, it's okay that time of year. We've got to have a powerhouse anyway. So,
So I haven't gotten an update on that. The roof.
Well, I thought it was pretty simple.
It was pretty simple.
I mean,
machine off the roof.
Yeah. They've been out there for site visits.
I think it was an extension cord and a long hose. So.
No, there was a.
I got something new?
Why is it on there?
Yeah.
There's a potential change. Oh, but I told him to call in, so move on to the
next. Hey there.
So it comes out next week or next month?
Okay, Karina.
This is Karina from Small Projects, and Chauncey's on the line too. He's going to update. You're going to provide an update on any changes.
All right. Go ahead.
So, only one minor change.
That's awesome.
Can't even hear you.
That's good.
Hey, Karina, we can't hear anybody.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
All right. So, we only had one minor update. We originally anticipated this job taking 3 weeks. It looks like it's going to take more like 4 weeks. So, we would like to extend the schedule further into July, still keeping that hard finish date of August 6th, though. And just wondering if there's any concerns with extending it into July.
As long as you get that hard date done, get it done.
Stay away from,
As long as your hose is 100 feet, you're good.
Yeah.
You got noisy stuff off the ladder.
Use your extension cord and stay 100 feet away from the fishway.
Got it done.
Yep, you got it.
Okay, great. Well, if there's any changes, please get a hold of us. But thanks for doing that. And
good to go.
We're good to go.
Yep, we will do. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
Absolutely. Take care.
All righty. Ice and trash end gate.
Don't really have update.
That's August.
Stick to the same thing.
Yeah, August.
Okay, so we're good.
First couple weeks in August.
Okay, so now let's break out the champagne and bets can be cashed in because Bonneville Unit 11 update.
No.
Return to service 310.
And went out.
Yeah, 3-1. For how long?
3-10. As we speak. So it's been spinning for a while.
There's a whole lot of runtime there.
Yeah.
One day.
So when did we cash in our bets on this?
I don't know. I think,
Well, I'm just saying, like, you still got the heat test. You still
know. 72-hour heat test has been
done. And you don't have any, like, 30-day runtime, blah, blah, blah,
not
blah.
Yet.
I mean, not required.
There's no required, so you could just...
To run?
Not required.
You could offline and put it back online.
Yeah. You can, it's actually part, it's back into
it's
the unit priority list.
It can be scheduled in and out like any
so
other
So what was this, how many years
how
did
long?
You do?
It was like May of 2008 is when it went out.
Nice.
So...
I was such a younger man back then.
Yeah. You were spelled with it, too.
I remember it well.
Wow. It's almost
we've done entire analysis.
Nice job.
We've done entire biops since then.
You could have named it Flint, the name of my son.
Yeah.
About the same age.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think there's got to be a celebration. I want to see the purchase of that beer.
I will gladly pay the beer. I'll gladly pay a beer to have you in the loan back.
And let's keep going with all this good news. The fish unit trash rake.
Not done.
Be done by first. But all stuff was on hand. There's construction. There's some doing nav block overhaul stuff right now.
That one Tom does have to bring in.
Yes.
No, no, it's got to work. Just because it's back, just because you see it have done, okay, so then it works. It's got to actually work.
What is the expectation?
It is not sitting in the boneyard for 6 years.
There. And I do appreciate
that's the criteria.
Put back on there?
Yeah.
No problem. Should I keep going?
Yep, keep going down the line.
The ASM orifice flushing all repaired, so they function, all of them in both auto and manual.
Yeah. Oh, good. So I can go down there and start turning valves all I want. No problem.
Well, I'm not going to that far. Yeah, in theory. Yeah, they all work, and so yeah, they can manually flush if need be. They'll cycle.
Gary, when you find out your key doesn't work,
I was going to say, your access has been limited already.
Yeah. So much for buying those cookies.
Good luck with that.
Calcutta, I don't know if I'm supposed to cover that anymore.
Of course I'm okay.
It was pretty easy this year.
Yeah. So yeah, we hit the trigger. As you all know, the corner collector's over. I suspect everybody knows the corner collector's been open.
Yeah.
A lot of steel had going above.
No, appreciate that.
This year. Yeah, so early.
Yeah, I almost maybe think we should close with all the sea lines downriver. Don't go down there. You don't want to.
Yeah. Well, do you ever think of going to 12 hours?
Some of those counts. Yeah.
Daylight, nighttime only?
Yeah. Is that what you're asking?
No. Should we at some time consider going to nighttime only and not keep feeding during the daylight?
Gary, do you want to kick him or should I?
Okay.
Thanks.
I mean,
no.
We're letting them out early at the Dalles on purpose.
Oh, we got sea lions in the port bay. You
know, only three of them, though. Well, it's not the 6,000.
Can you see the size of them, though?
Yeah.
Totally, we might not have sea lions before.
I was going to say, they got somebody flushed. Did they get flushed?
Through the Napa.
Yeah. Good.
No, I mean, there's sea lion
the big boy got flushed?
Flushed debris that they flushed.
He's probably going to be going, wait a minute.
This ain't right.
Well, they kind of were going, wait a minute, because they're doing that lock overhaul, and there's three sea lions barking around in there and carrying on, but...
They're
working
slow enough.
No, they're breathing and functioning.
Hey, wait a minute. Don't close the gate. Oh, no.
So yeah, I mean, we ask over and over.
The big honking guy that was up above the dowels is down below.
You may have locked
them. I don't know.
I doubt it.
In terms of the unique ID, we don't have that yet.
He's not that hard to not ID.
Well, no, but we've asked people that were there when it happened. We asked for all kinds of diagnostics, but they're like, we flushed three animals.
One was this
guy. So, what do you want to know?
You know, we're doing our job.
What else do you
want? Yeah.
He's right before the block.
We haven't seen him since that.
Cool.
All right. Well,
but we don't see him that often.
Yeah.
When we find out, we'll put in our sea lion report.
Exactly. And that's part of the sea lion report we posted. Bjorn was just finalizing it this morning. We posted some the monthly or weekly report that's going to be sent out.
I'm not sure that we would. I mean, I haven't seen sea lions hanging out at the point of the exit looking for food. They're up mostly. Well, speak to that. But the odds of the occasional kelp being the target, I think, is pretty slim. There's lots of other things to eat. They're there.
Small little big helter to be fetched, you know.
But I mean, as we pursue trying to spill the sluice way at the Dalles more frequently to get fish to come out, one of the downsides is they come out and they go down below Bonneville. I mean, otherwise they're holding up above the Dalles until we open the sluice way March 1st versus sooner, like we saw with the sluice way open for a day.
I just don't know how long you want to hold a kelp for. Kelps have got, they got a place to be, and I don't know if
eventually
I want to try to manage.
They're going
to
be somewhere.
Hmm? I don't know if I want to try to manage kelp migration. So I don't know what's best.
We talked about this way back. I know. We talked about the kelp operation in the first place, and we came up with 24 hours was best. Because that's when they were passing. I mean, there wasn't.
They're not day night.
No, but you can make it day night.
You could make it, yeah. If there was a reason for it.
Yeah,
because actually kelp survival from Dunn's work is pretty good through Bonneville. That's when they get down closer to the estuary. That's when kelps have their
question.
So this kind of touches on an issue. There was actually a do out of a white paper.
I was going to be nice enough not mention it.
Well,
the land that one.
Well, the thing is sometimes some of us overestimate our abilities. Right? So I thought, okay, this is good. Right? All I've got to do is look at the abundance of fish, you know, passage distributions for our specific survival, can come up with a plausible, logical, you know, logic train to follow. It gets pretty complex. Yeah. When you start looking at the overshoot rates, abundance, you know, every year it's so variable. You know, this year we had kelps coming out of the chutes in February, right? So it's a broader endeavor than I originally anticipated. And some of the issues, to me, it seems like in the overwintering steelhead work that was done, there was potentially some objectives that were missed by the SRWG this year. And I don't know if that's the forum for this or exactly what's the right forum to do this. I mean, I can work some stuff out. But it's going to take me a little bit of time.
Fun. No, please do.
Take your time.
Don't take too much.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It all comes to scale. I mean, for small scale stuff here, if it gets to be a larger scale effort, then through SRWG and laying out for SED funding. Which we are doing for a steelhead synthesis report right now, as we talked about. So I don't know how much. I mean, that was from McNary. With kind of an eye towards doing a broader.
The fish that are passing McNary.
I know. It's all the same issue. So how broad that one gets to be, that hasn't been scoped yet. That's Walla Walla is still, I think, tasked with scoping that, at least at the last SAT meeting. Derek, are you on the phone?
Can we add that into that scope?
Yes.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, I am. I wasn't tracking.
Well, yeah, Derek, talking about the steelhead synthesis report.
Right.
You guys are tasked with scoping that at the last SCT, and I don't know where you are with that, but that's something that we need to... I mean, the scope is still in question, so it's something that we could talk about, I guess. I mean, the intent was to really summarize McNary, the data we've collected upriver, but I don't know how far we can spread that out.
I remember it just being McNary. Though.
Yeah, I know. Well, that was the intent. That's what I brought up. When I put it on the spreadsheet in November, that was the direction that I was coming from, because that's where we've got a lot of miscellaneous information that hasn't been pulled together. And there was a decision pending on McNary TSW operation, possibly Ice Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
So that was our
plan was to discuss the scope of that at the one pager development meetings when we talk about adult fish. Everybody's together in the room for those development meetings to talk about the details of that work.
Yeah, that'd be a time to do it. It's just that I'm a little worried we're in the middle of FY15, and this is an FY15 funded thing that I'm hoping to get started with this year's money. So I don't want to take too long. And that, you know, that's like Bill and I've talked about. We need to get those things prioritized on the SCT spreadsheet as well. So,
sure.
But the scope is kind of important. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people's different ideas about the scope here. So. You guys need to take a shot at the scope, and then others, we're going to have to put some input into that.
WDFW is...
Well, my recollection is a little broader than Gary's, I guess. It's
conversation was much more broad than McNary.
I think WDFW has often and brought to the table Granite and Goose.
More, but also that I think the scoping piece is a little confusing at this point for me, simply because the Middle Columbia River folks have done quite a bit of scoping and provided quite a bit of information about
Christmas is right.
The vastness of this complicated process here that's going through. So we're capturing just one little fragment of it in this conversation, I think.
Yeah, I mean, my take on it was kind of similar to what you're saying, is that there's been a lot of research done on adult steelhead movements, and it'd be nice to take some of that information and start making some survival improvements.
Yeah.
At some of these facilities for adults. And I think we have enough information to make some improvements. We just need to put it all together.
Yeah. So the part I'm talking about is this this compiling it all. And that's all we're doing. I mean,
I'm just talking about what we talked about the day after the meeting that we had, that you guys hosted. That I brought that to SCT, and at that point, I mean, I was trying to focus it on what I thought could be a fund at the time, which was more of the McNary, since we were just in the process of gaining all this McNary data.
Well, I think McNary could definitely.
But there's no, I have no problem with broadening that as broad as we think it needs to be. It's just.
Well, that was part of what I thought SRWG decided to do, was to put that in a broader context than just McNary.
Okay.
And that scoping and this report that we're talking about would include all of that, not just,
I think it should. Personally, I think.
But additional meeting to help scope that would be a good idea.
With collaborative effort. Because there's a lot of research that's gone on with all of the agencies at this point that I can figure. The information has been considered, has been analyzed, and has some answers, I think, that we should be looking closer at and being more proactive in implementing. So,
that. It's just our focus has been McNary. I mean, it has been.
So this is kind of another forums discussion. Right. I think we should let this go.
Yep.
I'm glad Derek was on to answer it for you, but.
Yeah, so Derek, you kind of heard what folks are thinking, I guess. You guys take a shot at scoping it, and then we need to have maybe commandeer a part of one of those SRWG meetings for a discussion.
Right. Okay, great. Yep, that sounds good to me.
Okay, as you suggested.
Moving on.
Thank you.
Gary, that's been on our radar. We've been trying to get these other studies implemented and moving forward. Been on our radar to work on that and get it awarded.
You need to wait until we have this meeting.
Oh, absolutely. I wasn't saying we would award before that, but I mean,
maybe, maybe instead of taking time out of your busy day to do it, maybe you just let it wait a bit and we all get together and work it out. That way you won't spin your wheels.
All right.
All right,
what he's trying to say is you're going to mess it up.
I didn't say that. I heard from him that he was having trouble getting all this done, and I'm just giving him an out.
I'll take it.
He's from the government. He's here to help.
Speaking of the government, let's move on to the Dow.
But independent.
1,400 CFS test.
What about ITS?
I already crossed that out. Sorry.
That's pretty much what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Well, and just to touch on that, we do have a change form similar to the corner collector one for winter operations. Anytime there's involuntary spill, if the ice and trash sluice way is open, they go through. So in the meantime, we'll be able to get some spill through there through the winter when we have the water.
So just to add on to that, so we actually did that on the 19th.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And sluice way was open, spillway was open, and Derek Faber from ODFW said, "What'd you guys do? Because we had a spike." 15 Mile Creek.
Interesting.
But I looked at his data and there was a spike there, but then there was also a spike early in February. So
we
didn't have anything open then.
It just seems like.
So I don't know if there's statistical significance there or not. But
one event or one reaction.
Yeah.
And to add on to that, Bob, it was open, I contacted Cottle of UI because of the overwintering steelhead study, put out a data call. He said it'll come out. I can't put it all together right now because it's RT data. Some fish did move down when it was open. Okay. We'll compile that in the report. We'll get a hold of that information when it's available.
Right.
All right, now we can talk about the
1400
CFS test.
John,
do you want to talk about that?
John, do you want to start this, or do you want me?
I can tell by the excitement of your face. Yeah. You definitely want to talk about it.
That was something that Corey and the project coordinated at FPOM to run the one fish unit at reduced flow and look at the entrance conditions at the east ladder. And so we conducted that operation. And bottom line was it looked pretty good. The entrance openings with 8.5 foot openings with the east
8.5. We actually had too high a differential. Yeah, we had to drop it a bit.
I saw that.
Differentials at it.
Yeah. Nines.
Yeah.
E2 and E3, correct?
Yes.
And so then we opened up the gates more to 10.7 feet, and we got 1.5 foot differential at E2 and E3. The entrance flow along the downstream angled wall from the ladder, you know, through the junction pool area, it was a little bit slower than normal operations, but we estimated it at 1 to 2 feet per second.
Yeah.
And
surprisingly.
Yeah, it looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you guys had some recirculation. There's some
there was some
flow up one wall, backflow.
That was the only downside was we weren't able to close diffusers on the west and the south entrance, so those were left full open.
Right.
From that we had a little bit of backflow coming back up the channels. Wasn't a lot, but when we dropped in the JP weirs to just a foot or two below water, below surface, and then you could see it was substantial enough. Now, if we would have closed west and south diffusers, that may have fixed that. We don't know.
And they would do that in the situation.
Would they?
That's
the issue with setting the methods.
But it's not just a go out and press a button.
It takes
some time. Yeah. So you lose some time in that.
But
there's the question about all the diffusers in the collection channel, which we know a lot of them do leak, and there's nothing we can do about that. And they are as close as we can get them, but they do leak. So whether or not that would create some of that backflow, we have no idea.
So I guess my concern, my point is to set up an operating manual or whatever it is when we get this emergency system done. You have the 14.
What's the procedure?
What do you do?
Right.
And what's the process? And now you learn something.
Right.
You learn we don't want that reverse flow in there. So how do you?
That's something you'd have to take a look at the situation with the new auxiliary water supply. See if the same conditions set up.
Comes in a little differently. Yeah.
Then determine what your fish unit downtime is. And then make a decision about going.
At least you have something to look at. So
you've
got some tools.
So the test was beneficial, that's for sure.
Yeah.
We learned a lot.
And I did notice that it didn't use the fish lock flow.
We did not.
Okay. So that would be some additional flow you'd be able to add in there. A couple extra hundred.
It's not the questionable valve, though.
One valve good, one not so good.
When's the last time it was used?
About a year ago.
So your write-up on this, or is that going into?
John had done the write-up.
It should be on the FPOM website.
Yeah.
Goes on the website.
He sent an email out. There's a little report.
People can find it when they need to.
When they get
down the road. We're working on 3 years.
One year long and gone.
Finally finished with this thing.
I reckon they would do the same.
Same test then, and go through the same.
Oh, Bill's
Yeah.
The chair
is
negative.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah. Good.
Ridiculous.
So let's move on to the Dallas Fish Unit 2 outage for bleed timing adjustments.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we ran into something we had to get done, and so we just went for it, and it was like a 3.5 hour outage of F2. We increased F1. We were able to increase the capacity of F1 where we could pump it all the way up to 16 megawatts, and so we went for that, and it held criteria pretty close. I mean, it was borderline. We had to adjust the west and the south a little bit, but it looked good during that time. So we got the work done.
Comments? Okay. Some unit outages coming up.
And the date's out, right?
What is that one for?
No.
I got one at the Dells. If you want to, do you want to go over the one at the Dells?
Yeah, so this is the Dells.
Well,
it was for units 1 and 2 or 3 in April. It was going to be the annual maintenance, but it needed to come out for something else, and I had asked, well, why wasn't it done during winter maintenance? I'll pull up the email. Go ahead. You just...
I've got one that's...
I just randomly add
things. I was trying to save you, but since you didn't...
I actually do have one at the Dells on the fish units and the units 1 through 4. We're looking to do some work in the switch yard, and they came to me, asked for an August 7-hour during the day outage, and I asked if they could do it at night, and so they came back with May 21, 22nd, the night of that. So 7 hours at night. Yeah.
How long?
Seven hours at night, starting whenever we, you know, whatever time you want them to start. So, yeah. Do you have a suggestion on what start time is like?
As possible, because you don't want them to still be out as it gets morning. You know?
So you want 8 o'clock at night?
Yeah,
if they can get it done by eight's enough time, I'm sorry, 7 if they need more time. But yeah, 8 would probably
8 or 7, back it up, don't take it the other way.
That's for the adult passages. Are there any juvenile passages?
For a fish unit?
We would have to
It's units 1 through 4.
Yeah, and then it's move it down.
So we have to move a chain mate on
5 or 6, whatever we're
running. Open that up for the night. That'll be our priority for that night.
Close the one and open five.
All right, so yours, Cordy, was main unit 1 and 2 out of service April 1st and 2nd to address the transformer oil leak issue.
So can we get some paper on this? And then we'll see.
On the
April 1st.
Let's do the paper just to make sure we have the trail.
Are you going to go on the 1st and 2nd?
So there was a scheduled outage already, and it was just extended into April.
Yes, into fish passage season, and since those are the priority units, you wanted to coordinate it.
Are you taking the fish units out, or all of them, or what are you doing on that one?
No, this one's just this is not the fish units.
Main units, which one?
Is just 1 through 4.
Oh, 1 through 4. Okay.
Yeah.
And you'll be done with that when? April
3rd.
3rd? Yeah, 3 days into April.
So you'll run chain gates appropriately?
So we could do the chain gate move again on that.
Okay.
But this so MOC...
Back to the MOC for...
Yeah, let's get a paper on that.
May, 7 hours, start 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock.
Sure. Now they know what you want and what they can offer. We can write it up.
You're good to go.
Because they say 8 hours, but sometimes they say longer. Right out in front and the back.
Okay. So we're going 7 o'clock or 8?
I would say 8, but as they get closer, they say, said 8, but it might need a little more time. Please feel free to move forward, not the back side.
Okay. All right, let's move on then to the North Fishway rock wall repairs. Do you have any update on that?
The only update I have is, I can't remember if this is before last CFM or not, they did a site visit last month.
Yeah, the geotech?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they got a PM assigned.
And a PM is assigned, but there's a PM swap now, so she's no longer the PM. Now Jeff Mama is
Jeff?
The PM.
Jeff is? All right.
He's
back in the Dow.
Yeah, so which might help because nothing seemed to be moving before. I mean, there's no meetings, there was nothing, and so I suspect Jeff.
I know that there is funding to start with the assessment and plans and specs.
Okay.
To award a contract this year could be a major challenge because it'd be late. We're having a big struggle with our acquisition process right now.
Contract for what is really the question I have.
Well, I don't know. See what they come up with.
So they've been looking to figure
out.
Yeah.
So we need to get involved at some point just to get a heads up.
Well, once they do their assessment and get something together, you can get involved. Unless you want to get involved now. What do you want to do?
Sooner the better. Because it sounds like you're talking contract this year.
No, I'm saying the contract probably wouldn't happen this year. Because
wouldn't happen. Sorry.
It'd be late and...
Yeah.
Okay.
We're having struggles there.
I just thought you were going to try to really push it through.
You got to speak up for Gary. He's getting
We could,
I heard that.
We could ask Gamma to provide a clear wake update. Thanks.
Sure. Yeah. Let's see how far he's gotten. Trunnion pin 9. I can cover this if you want. This kind of has been my little thing.
It's white so. Whale anyway, so. Okay, Ahab, what do you got for us?
Get out the whip.
Get out the whip.
Oh, 2018, then you're saying?
Oh, yeah. No, it's gone to small projects.
Okay.
The PM will be Mike Colasar on site. He'll be managing that. So we've had structural mechanical is going out there doing an assessment. They're going to come back with a trip report and then start working up plans and specs.
And the trunnion pin's on Bob's desk right now?
I doubt it's there. We don't know where it is. It's lost. Joking.
It's rusty out the yard.
It's got wheels on it, and it's turned into a barbecue.
Excellent. I was going to say a fire pit.
So, yeah, more to come, but at least, hey, come on, give me some love.
You're moving it.
Oh, yeah.
So right here, Pog, or what?
Yeah.
What are you looking for?
Anything. Anything, except for backlashes. How about going into the John Day Spill Day 15 repair? Eric, welcome to the group here. Come on in.
Great. So project plans on making the repair on the 23rd. Right now we have both of the cranes tied up during the NABLOC outage. But some other good news is we had three welders pass their test. So that gives us some flexibility to weld on that gate. So it should be done on the 23rd, maybe even sooner.
But they weren't welding before,
were they?
They fixed it.
Weld on like a hydraulic
solderers.
They need to pass like a test.
I try to insert humor when I can.
Oh, good job.
Yeah. So work will be done when?
On the 23rd.
March 23rd.
Hard with these engineering. Hey. March 23rd. All right. So, well, since you're on a roll,
yep.
Let's keep going. The south subsistence area.
Subsidence.
I can't read it because of my glasses.
Right. So,
and I crossed it out.
So the area in question here is located in the south fish ladder, and to be more specific about the area, it's at the 90-degree corner of the collection channel before it starts ascending up the fish ladder in the overflow section.
Much better.
So just to give a little brief background on what we're talking about, so this is the area of the entrance of the temporary fish ladder during the original construction of the dam. So once the dam was complete, the area was backfilled in, and a plug, a 4-foot plug, was inserted, or poured, rather, into that area to fill in the entrance slot. So fast forward 50 years, last year, we noticed a hole at the plug area in the concrete of the area. So we patched it and noticed there was water leaking out of the area around the concrete. So this year when we inspected it, we noticed there's a little bit more water leaking out, and we had planned on fixing it ourselves, but it became apparent that this is kind of a bigger issue than we had thought. So we had an engineer from structural design from Portland come out to do an assessment of the project, of the area, and he recommended we scan the area with ground penetrating radar, which we did, and we got our results back last week. And good news is the area around the plug is structurally sound, it's fine, the concrete's good. The plug itself has voids and it needs to be replaced. So right now the project's coordinating with the engineering and construction branch to do a much more thorough assessment, come up with a plan to fix this, hopefully next maintenance period.
Nice work.
So you know I've got to ask.
No.
North shore pumps? Still in litigation? So we're not going to say
those
anything?
Aren't on the agenda.
Yeah.
He just wants to.
You have to go through the proper channels to get that on the agenda.
You didn't request that.
And you have to talk to Natalie.
That's right.
Yeah.
I have no idea where we're on with those. I figured, you know, if I haven't heard about it, then it's okay.
How does that work with your children? Let's just put it that way.
Because Natalie is usually on the horn with me a little bit about this.
All right, so you still have 5 of the 6 working, and you're in debate on 1?
Correct.
Okay.
That I can say.
Lovely.
And looks like Mr. Rearsich, fitter wig updates, you got anything?
FGE program, so we have
what?
A and B slot plates installed. The VPS mods are complete, they're putting the finishing touches on those. the trash rack release mechanism is complete. Okay. We're scheduled to put the release mechanism in on Tuesday next week. Pontiac order is sitting with Bella. We're out for signature. And the big risk with this is the flow forecast.
So now that's a great segue into the flow forecast. Let's hear it.
Well, what do you want? What do you want?
We want the spring forecast, not the summer forecast.
Which is about the same this year.
Dismal or dismal?
Yeah, the peak has passed.
Yes.
It's the new reality, really.
Yeah. Thank you.
So starting with Lower Granite, yesterday's average, 29 KCFS. Five-day forecast up to 54. 10-day, 56. And the projected peak occurs on St. Patrick's Day at 66.
Nice. There's a
KCFS at 66.
Probably Green Bear Forest.
McNary, yesterday's average was 166. Five-day forecast, 194. And 10-day forecast, 187. Projected peak on the 18th. Of 196. At Bonneville, yesterday average. Yeah, pretty much. Yesterday's average at Bonneville, 181. 5-day forecast up to 203. 10 days at 202. And the projected peak on the 18th of 213.
Mm. So is Grand Coulee at 12 to 5 on the 18th?
Yeah.
Just check it.
So speaking of the forecast, I mean, we've got more information here.
Back to the longer forecast that we've been seeing over the last couple of weeks, it looks like the month of April may be concerning for flow at Bonneville and achieving enough flow to meet our objectives for the operations we want to keep the evaluation. We have fish scheduled to go in the gate wells on April 1. And it looked like, by what I'm seeing from the forecasts, and granted, there's lots of time and lots of potential for change, but we may be at risk before spill starts for not being able to achieve 18K through the unit 15 for the 15K slot.
And what kind of flow do you need to achieve that? Do you know? Because I know it's driven by a head.
Yes, and I've been looking at some recent operations data, and it looks like if we have a river that's about 160K, we should be able to get close to 18K through the unit. And so those flow forecasts are in the 140 to 150 range. So we may be a little bit short, maybe around the high 16 to 17K range with the generator limit there. So once, and then once spill starts, then we run into a risk of not having enough units for the test.
And not enough water to run enough units with the current unit priority.
Right. So, you know, our
plenty of units. No more.
Just change the priority.
Yeah, we could.
Well, even with changing priority, we still run a risk with these low forecasts. It would help.
You'll have three units for sure. Minimum generation there is 30 to 40K. So you'll for sure have three units on.
That's the thing to talk about.
Yeah, right.
So
the new priority changes. 11.
Yeah. No, I was looking at
adding
a flow across the project. It looks like we need a 160 river for three units.
Well, you get three units no matter what. You can have 80 in the river, you know,
spill.
Three units.
Spill gets cut back.
Min-gen.
Min-gen is first priority of the project.
Well, spill but min-gen is 30, isn't it?
It's 30 to 40.
And if you're popping 18 through two units, that's
26 or 36.
That's 36 last time I checked.
Right. So 36, you have the two, but you're going to have another unit on, is my guess.
Right. So we're not running 18 through all those units.
Just one of them.
So just one of them.
Right. So yeah, 15K through
15, 18, 15, 12, 12. Or 12. Yeah, because the other one could be down.
Can't
whatever.
Get all 18.
12, should 12, be 18. Unit
18. That's true, because you do 18 to one unit than 18.
12, 12.
Yeah. So if we have enough flow at the project to run three units, we should have enough flow to meet the 18K operation through the one unit.
No.
Okay. If we don't have enough flow, we'll still run three units.
So just 18K and one.
But you won't have enough. You have the wrong head. You have to have a river flow of the 160 is the driver. So we need to have a river flow of 160 in order to perform the 18K test.
It'll be 17 something.
So what's your contingency on this.
So what we're doing is we're working with Randy Osborne to see what we can do to condense the schedule.
No, you just start 18 and 12.
We're trying to do everything we can with schedule flexibility, working with the project to make sure we open up as much room as we can to, you know, ensure we get as many replicates as we can when it's available. But, yeah, what priority.
What time duration do you need?
Okay.
What time duration do you need? Because you most likely during the day you'll get the condition you're looking for, and we can back off at night-ish. We can shape around it to get up to 160.
Yeah, we've been talking about that as well. You know, our test duration is 24 hours, and we'll have to release. But most of the fish move through within the first couple hours, and then again at nightfall, we get another peak, and then most of them have to move through. So that's something like that may work.
Yeah, that could bias the test, though. You know, that's the only issue with that. Yeah.
But that's how we really run it. Mm-hmm. That is how we really run the river.
Only during the flows.
Right. Well, so.
This is supposed to be fixed for all year.
This is fixed for everything. So we've got to be careful with that. There's the other option, possibly, of doing some of the tests in May and combining those groups together. They'd be different sized fish, you know, because we grow, but they're all Spring Creek fish.
Shifting the test, try to maintain everything we can for the 15A versus 14A evaluation, and then if we have to forego some replicates, do it on the 15C versus
right,
which is cut the C slot, which makes the most sense.
And that's a decision that can be put off to whether C slot needs a plate or not. So, you know, the first thing would be to decide what your unit priority would be if you're only going to do three. So normally, we would need four for the issue 11, 18, and then the two test units. So which one of 11 and 18 do we?
11.
11 is my choice, absolutely.
And you know, we're not skipping to any release for Spring Creek fish.
Bring that second.
So when Spring Creek fish are processing, the unit will be available. We won't be testing.
John, sorry.
Hey, John, this is Doug. Could you repeat that regarding Spring Creek? I know Joe was on the phone. Just wanted to make sure Joe was tracking this issue.
Well, the test isn't going to go. You're not going to do the test during Spring Creek. No, and that's what I'm saying. Unit 11 will be available for Spring Creek passing.
Right.
We're not scheduled.
So we're trying to coordinate this around the Spring Creek release.
What you might have heard is the fish are coming from Spring Creek, as Eric noted. These are Spring Creek fish, but this is referred to Spring Creek release.
Which are actually all core fish.
Thank you, Mr. Moneybags.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Hatcher.
So do we have the dates for those?
I'm tracking Doug, and I appreciate the comment.
So when
could you, Joe, could you comment on, I guess, when are the, do you have any tentative dates? There's generally two releases. Could you, do you tentatively know what those are?
I don't know what the exact dates are, but I'll get the information.
Okay.
So
like
April 12th to 17th.
Yeah, I think what we have penciled in the schedule is Spring Creek release right around 10, and then they arrive at Bonneville.
So what we got between now and that test period, a meeting set that we can just have an ad hoc conference call.
We may start to do an ad hoc.
Don't match up with TNT, otherwise I'll beat you.
No, I won't. I'll pull you guys beforehand, but cool. Yeah, we'll have a. Yeah, we'll keep watching the forecasts.
Joe, can you find out what dates they're going to release? I'm guessing it's going to be the 13th. They sometimes like to do it on a Monday. But
yeah, for sure. I'll get that information today and send it to the group.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Joe. All right, any other discussions on this?
No, so but you heard 11 and then your two test units for priority?
11 on or 11 off?
11 on.
Did you say 11 off?
Oh, you want off?
Yeah, 18's for an adult. I know it's better for juveniles, but for adult passage, you want 18 on. I would choose adult passage. We've had 11 off forever anyway.
But we can 18. Break it. I'll save my beer.
Well, maybe by shutting it off and turning it on again, it'll break.
So yeah, that's easy for
you. Actually, you think of this time of year with early spring chinook, if there is sea lion activity, you probably need to,
juvenile, not so much. I mean, it's still important, but we've been running without it for a very long time.
Doesn't mean it's right.
It's not right, but I'd rather, you know, from the standpoint of pass, adult passage, go keep 18 on.
I'm trying to think holistically about all the fish. I'm not trying to center on one side of the fish like you people. We're gravel over here.
Oh, yeah.
That's a grovel. Grovel to grovel.
Grovel and grovel.
So do we, are we in agreement then that we can change unit priority, given that we have exhausted all our other alternatives and schedules?
Yeah,
so
you need to set up contingency.
So
18, 15,
and
14. 18, 15, 14.
Yeah. Okay.
And that would be contingent on some flow forecast that doesn't, right. Yeah, okay.
Doesn't allow all four.
So, I mean, obviously, when you're not when you're not testing, go back to the normal operation. But during the testing, you guys, we'll let you slide during the testing.
We'll run that unit up and down, start and stop it. The earlier we can, break that sucker.
Hey, Jack.
Or it'll be good and solid.
Your Manhattan's getting a lot smaller. Let's put it that way. So it's going to be a thimble here pretty soon.
You can't do that. Sorry. All right, so let's move on. Great conversation there. Thanks. Thanks for everybody for participating. That was nice. Any Lamprey updates?
I think we wanted John just to mention on the last month here. John, you want to give a quick bullet?
Sure. Sure, I can do that. The, in February, we had a usual peak of lamprey like we typically get. You might remember we had a rise and flow, and the lamprey went with it. And the numbers really jumped up. At McNary, on the March 3rd inspection, we had 115 recovered on the cooling water strainers, 77 on February 18th at Ice Harbor. And at Lomo, a whopping 1,276 juvenile lamprey, and that's from February 3rd to March 2nd. Then what's really interesting is Little Goose. They have background counts, and then the week of February 12th to the 18th, they jumped up to 199. So it looks like around mid-February is when the lamprey showed up. And then Laura Granite had 390 recovered on the 25th of March. And that's pretty much it, unless you have some questions.
Any questions?
No.
All right, thanks, John.
Appreciate it. Having the data to help.
Yeah, and this has been posted, should be posted. Tammy has a copy, and I'm pretty sure it's on the TMT website there.
Cool.
All right, how about an avian update?
This is interesting, actually. There's a lot of movement on this that is not exactly helping us move forward. Right now,
I think you should broadcast this to everyone. You're not allowed to have any weapons at the dams. That's awesome.
Yeah, there's a there was a new policy put in place where there was no weapons. John has requested an exemption specific to our hazing. We also, just in the last week, have had several inquiries targeting lethal take as well from Spokane, Washington State University staff, various others. We are answering those with some of the process that we have had in place. And we do expect our commander to sign the waiver to allow us to continue the hazing program. So we went through the justification.
No shooting ourselves in the foot. The
no, what it, I think the impact at this point is pigeons. So there hasn't been any pigeon control through the winter months, which and or any small mammal, which normally is the stuff that takes place during the winter work window. So. We expect to have that resolved. As
this was with APHIS doing the work or with
APHIS
the project?
APHIS still does the work for all of us. There was some unfortunate kind of off-the-cuff informal agreements that had been made last year at one project where a weapon had been stored in a locked cabinet rather than in an official lockbox that seems to have maybe been part of precipitating some of this, all this new process. So,
we're the civilian part of the branch.
Yeah, I can tell.
So,
I don't trust
we
you guys.
Can't handle anything.
I guess.
Not even a lockbox.
Especially you.
I think we're moving forward, and we expect to have it resolved hopefully in the next week or two.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I know.
Yeah.
Right. So that's it for that one.
Critical infrastructure in August, BPA updates.
The main one I had was the valves outage.
Okay, so we get an MLC together for that.
Yep.
All right, let's jump to two. We've got through the first part of the agenda. Gary, I think you want to talk about the first one.
Yeah, Miro is not here. It really isn't for
Miro,
I guess.
Hawaii.
He's in Hawaii.
Hiding in Hawaii. Is he in Hawaii?
Hiding in
Hawaii. Good place. Hawaii is the only place as of yesterday where there was a blizzard warning in the United States. That's a pretty interesting little tidbit.
Great, I'm going there next week.
Yeah, actually was.
Just that's stay nice. Here.
Yeah.
It's nicer than San Diego.
Yeah, it was on the mountains.
No observatory tonight.
So much
free time if you're looking at this guy.
He's looking at retiring.
I guess so.
It's in Hawaii. This has been a good job. What I'm looking for here, I think, is more assurances that we don't have dewatering mortalities of adult fish. And so
we thought we had dealt with this.
Yeah, I know. And this is it's disappointing to see what happened out there with the steelhead, which I think at least three of them, I think, were at finned fish, not clipped. Wild or not, I'm not sure, but probably. So what I'd like to at least start out with is to understand what the clearance procedures are for these dewaterings. Do the fisheries folks have their own padlock on the box on whatever piece of equipment that is required to dewater down to dry those parts of the fishways? So, I mean, is there real assurances to the Corps of Engineers that these things can't happen without fisheries folks being on site at the time and with a padlock on the lockbox? That's what I'm looking for. Clearances.
Did you review the updated standard operating procedure for fishway dewaterings?
Was this in the MFR?
I am not getting read. It was sent as an attachment to
the MFR. That came out. I did go through that. Yes, but understanding is the okay for all. I'm talking all
in
the
general,
projects all everybody. The way up the river, every project, not just the John Day. I just want to know what the procedures are and can we improve those.
Well, we will, as we go through the year, need to have more discussion because I'm just going to throw this in. I'm not trying to get into Portland stuff, but with all the new constraints related to oil, etc., we may have the need to talk with the region at Lomo on Unit 1 where we won't be able to turn the unit before doing a salvage after it's sat there now for a number of months.
Okay.
And it
because
might be a similar
accumulation.
Yeah, because of the, and so... anyway,
yeah.
Throw that
well, we
in.
Need to kind of get this all worked out. I think we don't need what you know. I've talked to our folks internally about these mortalities. They're not part of the biop. These aren't considered part of the biop. These are above and beyond. These are take of listed species without a permit. So this is serious. And what we, you know, I think it's simple. It's going to happen. These things are going to happen. We realize that. And so, but if we can do things to avoid it, at least. Get that out, and I think those things should be as serious as trying to protect personnel. I think that there needs to be that same level of clearance put on these whether it's a pump or a drain or whatever. If there's a lock on there for operations, I think Ben ought to have a lock on it too, or Mirror. Maybe you already do. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to make sure that
this is something that this is not a normal. At least at John Day, this one was kind of an odd one. But, yeah, I mean, I hear you.
That's all I'm looking for is just some assurances that Ben's got eyes on it or Miro's got eyes on it or Bob's got eyes on what's going on out there when this is happening. So that somebody who, with the fish bent, is looking and, you know, aware that guys aren't just going to walk away to have a lunch and come back and go, oh, whoops.
Hey, you know what? I think I'll start dewatering that before the guys get here so we can be speeded
up. Ready to go. That's nice, but...
Whoops, the guys didn't get here.
Well, keep in mind, there are cases where you have to do that. Yeah. Otherwise, there's no way you can fit it in a business day. You have to start dewatering before people get there.
But you don't do
as
the
long
part.
As you have an assurance that it's being watched by an operator, or
right.
you have some kind of system in that'll trip the pump.
It's
a certain level.
Yeah. And those things, I want eyes on this.
Right. Yeah.
So you're saying it takes 24 hours or something?
You got to plan ahead.
Sometimes more.
Yeah.
Depending on leakage, I mean, you can...
The other thing about that, Bob, is you know if you've got a lot of water to move, you're not going to get to the bottom.
Yeah.
I mean, if you start some of this stuff, but when you're getting down there where you feel like you're going to
in a couple hours,
dry
right.
out, you want to have somebody around.
Right.
So that's when these things need to have eyes on them.
I think our biggest benefit will be every time we make a mistake like this, we analyze it, we figure out exactly what happened, put it in the SOP so it doesn't happen again. And we have to review the SOP every time we dewater.
Yeah, that's what
just
I'm after, is an SOP that is...
And right. due diligence, it's not like we're trying to do this. Sometimes
no,
stuff happens, it's just though when you have a ESA listed fish tank, it's a little bit more of a hit than...
Yeah. Yeah, this is just trying to find some way to guarantee that we have people responsible who are, you know, the fish folks who are, you guys understand the issues here. The operators may not be quite as diligent. I'm not saying they're not, but they may have, other duties.
Right.
So they get called away at the wrong time and oops.
Yeah.
So.
Wasn't there language in there already to not operate pumps without people on site in the
I'll chime in now.
Oh, okay.
So
Eric's gonna.
Yeah, we did make changes to the protocols, and internally we've been working with our project manager and chief of maintenance to give us more control of the clearance procedure, because in the past we have been the clearance holder for maintenance. This year was a different story. We weren't involved so much in the clearance process because there was a lot of other maintenance issues going on. And we've done that in the past during fishway rescues. We'll hold the clearance until all the fish are safely out, and then we'll sign it over to engineering or maintenance during the rest of the maintenance season, which makes sense, it's easier for them. This was just a little bit of a different of a year with the swapping out of the SC1 weir, which acts as a bulkhead. So the old one leaked really bad. The new one obviously doesn't leak at all. So when it came to dewatering the pool, you know, we were probably still going off old information, what we thought we knew about the bulkhead leaking.
Mm-hmm.
So it drained out rather fast, obviously. And we've since made changes to our protocols to have that tagged out, and we're going to handle the clearance procedure so that doesn't happen again. So we have to be on staff to actually open that valve, which makes sense.
Yep.
And internally, we've been discussing, you know, other procedures with dewaterings. Case in point, the NABLOC dewatering. During our pre-meetings, we were discussing, you know, fish entrapment in the valves area. So we made it a point and had tag out procedures not to open valves to drain the NABLOC valve pits. So we did that as well. So
yeah,
we're forward thinking.
Well, you guys know where these areas are. What I just don't want to see is more dead fish as a result of somebody not watching or walking away and having something to water when they shouldn't have. I guess that's what I'm looking for.
Right.
So, you know, and that goes across all projects, and I know you guys don't want to do this. You don't want to let this happen. I'm just looking for ways. I don't want to go from piecemeal. I don't want to see fish have to die at each project before we address the issue. I want to see it addressed systematically. So that's kind of what I'm looking for.
There are some spots, even with our oversight, just based on the balance of personnel safety, where it gets to be pretty tricky, where you have to cover a lot of the ladder portion with people that are moving as quick as they can, but you're going right up to the edge of our HSCP program, because technically we're feeding water in still above personnel to try and keep fish wet. I'm talking about the Washington Shore.
These are things
you have to race down to make it happen, even with the best intentions and just oversight.
And I realize that these things are going to happen, and with the best intentions and the best oversight, they will, and I think that's covered. You know, those kind of losses I think are covered. It's when they're easily avoidable losses that really aren't covered under the buyout, and we want to make sure we address those. So that's what I'm after, is, you know, everything you guys know of where we could avoid this. If there's a procedure that you can put in place
as a clearance or lockout, tagout, whatever, that you can put in and make sure that you guys have eyes on that situation. That's what I'm looking for. That should go up and down the system.
All right, so we hear you.
It's a bit of a task. You know, maybe we should review each project in turn and see where we're at with that.
Well, it's going to change depending on what you have available year to year. Like, we have a lot of things that, like in the case of a place like Lomo, where we have insufficient unwatering pumps right now in certain areas, but 2 years from now, we hope that'll be overcome.
Those things,
you know,
will change.
So there's, yeah.
Well, dewatering plans are living documents. I mean, you guys change those as you move along, so that's where this would be contained.
I think each time we know ahead of time, though, if we think that there's rate risk with our existing process, we're planning to bring it forward for discussion before we go through an action.
Yeah. So is that the next step then? SOPs go to FPOM and you guys can review them and see.
Yeah, and I think you guys should take a hard look at them too. I mean, you know, it's up to you guys to know where these areas are. I don't know the projects well enough to know where every area might be that you could lose fish. So, and some of them are very hard to deal with and some of them are not so hard. But if we can lay that out and lay out the procedures just to make sure somebody's watching at least when these things start to near a point where fish can be stranded and killed. Then we've covered it as best as we can, I think. Yeah. That just becomes human error or whatever.
That is a big part of it, is the human error.
Yeah. That's going to happen.
Minimize it.
Minimize it as best we can and make sure we know who to talk to if it does happen.
Well, just to let you know, Gary, at Dworshak on the 26th this month, we're going up there. The project biologist from Granite and myself are going to go up there and discuss future unwatering of the units of that direction.
Yeah.
And improve some of our handling procedures. And we will have Dworshak's unwatering plan reviewed again.
That's good, yeah. And the guy who, the agent in our office now is Eric Morgan, and he's the guy who was the agent when we had the problem with Dworshak. So
right. He's
probably the guy I would send up there, and he has a memory of that.
I do too.
You do a good job.
Right. Well, it seems there's still room for improvement.
Yeah, no, I understand you. And, we're still interested.
He's right there.
Yes.
He's in the house. All right, so let's move on to the next one.
Okay,
Bill?
So, and Bill, you're on here.
You are here.
You want us
to
just... Yeah, well, you're on here for MOCs and outages requested by Bill Hevlin.
I reviewed your Granite plan, the preliminary, and the horizontal line diagram of the schedules. It looks really good. So, but what we need now, we need just an effort every month to update those two documents so that we know what's coming up in the next couple of months and we can talk about it now.
So we've made some progress on that. I did update this and bring new copies. The bigger document that I had put that compiled all the MOCs, as we work through these FPP change forms, yesterday Scott Fielding, Dave Trachtenberg came up, worked with John Bailey and myself, and we developed a couple MOCs. One of them is kind of a blanket MOC. The other is a specific for one of the rows on the table. So that's just a couple line items down now. I think we're really close that in another 5 or 10 minutes we may have Scott Fielding back on. So maybe we could just punt, go through a couple more coordinations, and when we get here, if Scott's back on, he'll cover it. Otherwise, we'll do our best to talk. The hope is, though, that folks will look at what we've put in place. These were sent out not as part of the FPOM agenda, but separately yesterday by John Bailey.
So we're going to add those in to that summary document, right?
Correct.
Good.
Correct. And I think what we're going to do is work with Tammy just to update that monthly out on the FPOM site rather than ask people to print them out necessarily and bring that whole document each month because it's mostly for reference, right?
Yeah.
While it's pretty easy to update this if it changes, that's kind of substantial pages that may or may not be useful, but if it's out there available for reference, that hopefully is.
Just if it's out there and Tammy can attach it or put it somewhere in the website and add these new ones to it.
Yeah.
That's what's important.
Yeah,
and then then I can go there each time before a meeting and see what we talked about before and what's coming up.
That'll work. We'll work that out. Okay, so I think the one that we wouldn't mind moving into now then would be the Ice Harbors. Do we have Brad Trumbo on the phone?
The Ice Harbors.
Oh, yes, I wouldn't miss this party.
Okay, so come on, I put line.
You have two of them on here, Brad, so tell us which one. One of them is 001, which was pending because it wasn't approved last month. I suggest we start there and then go into your next one on the spillway, OG.
Yep, that sounds fine. So to walk through the hydroacoustic install at Unit 1, we had originally requested, I don't even remember now, we were going to do an outage on the 4th and 5th of March.
Yes.
Unit 1 and 2, and the Unit 3 is already out for digital governor repair. And with the tail race construction there, well, we would have a problem spilling for adult attraction to the North Shore. What Trevor recommended is that we do an afternoon dive at minimum. So we worked it to where we could do that. And then we got to March 2nd during the pre-work meeting. The contractor made it clear that the way they planned to install the equipment, we wouldn't be able to rig trash. So we canceled the dive. Revisited the equipment install plan, came up with a backup plan that will install the power and data cables through the trash rack frame in PVC that will keep it away from the trash rake, so we shouldn't have any issues. So we were trying to reschedule the dive for 19th and 20th of March with afternoon dives, and that was an MOC that went out on Monday. But Ice Harbor, to bring Unit 3 back online by the end of the month, is planning to begin commissioning on the 19th of that unit. And that would end up, if we had a dive those days, we would have Units 1 through 3 out still, but they would have Unit 4 out as well, because the number 2 transmission line would have to be down to bring Unit 3 on for commissioning. Therefore, we were back into a forced spill condition, and again, we're trying to get the construction done on the spill bay, so... We backed out on that again, and now we're looking at 7-8 April. At that point in time, we should have Unit 3 online, and we should be spilling for Fish Passage. So that would pretty much eliminate any adult attraction flow issues we would have with a Unit 1 and 2 outage. So now we're requesting full days for the 7th and 8th of April for a dive. I'm not certain that it will require a full day on the 8th, but I assume we will need some time on the 8th to finish up.
So the good thing about this is they'll have Unit 3 online, and Passage is pretty good with Unit 3.
Yeah.
I don't even really tell the difference between Unit 1 and Unit 3 at Ice Harbor. So I don't see any impact. It's actually what I was suggesting earlier, Brad, is that you just wait until Unit 3 gets online. So.
Yep, looks like it worked out that way.
So Trevor's advice, even though you didn't plan to.
Yeah, I really didn't plan to. I just had a diver had to request it.
Yeah.
Maybe if I had a snorkel or something.
Some peppers on it. Yeah, Brad, I haven't responded to you, but yeah, I was fine with this.
Okay, great.
So any other reps want to comment? You okay, Eric?
I'm fine with it.
Okay.
He's going to defer to me and Trevor. That
Russ or Joe, either of you not agreeing with the rest of the reps?
I think I'm okay.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so keep it moving, Brad. It sounds like you've gotten this one moved from pending to approved. Congratulations.
Excellent.
So
see, it was worth hanging on.
Go ahead and start with your one that was sent out, I think, for the first time yesterday and got a number, Ice Harbor Spillway OG post-construction evaluation.
Okay, so I took a stab at this one to be as accurate on dates as I can be right now, given the construction schedule in the spill bay and when I believe we should be able to start spilling and whatnot. So we're trying to start spill on April 3rd as scheduled. So with that in mind, I'm assuming we can start the biotest on April 3rd. We're going to install the release pipe in the spill bay somewhere between the 19th and 22nd. It's going to take one day in there. Everything's already out, so we're not We're not going to impact anything with that install. We're expecting about 6 days to complete the study, and so I was thinking around April 10th, we would like to remove that pipe, and we're going to need a spillway 1, 2, and 3 outage for 1 day to do that. We need those three bays out because you obviously can't have a bay on either side operating since we don't really spill out of bay one. That's not a big deal. But we need a safety boat in the four bay for the man basket work, assuming that's how it's going to be installed. So I guess as far as impacts go, I couldn't see where there would be a large impact on juveniles. Obviously, the RSW is the best passage route. However, we're not going to see a large proportion of the run passing at that point in time, especially not in about an eight-hour day. And my assumption is that fish in that vicinity would end up passing traditional spill, which is also a high survival passage route. As far as adult passage goes, thinking about it from a steelhead fallback perspective, we may end up seeing approximately 2 steelhead based on roughly 5% of the fish that may be passing that day or in the area. And again, within a 10-hour period, it's uncertain how, or an 8-hour period, it's uncertain how many fish may actually try to fall back or even be in the vicinity. So I can't make a real, confident estimate of what the impact may be, but I'm assuming it's probably fairly minor.
Could it be positive, Brett? They won't fall back through the RSW?
Well, I think that's something I may have even included in this MOC, is that they may not even fall back. Yeah. Maybe they take a spill day or they don't fall back at all. So, not having an idea of, well, is that a Snake River fish or is that a John Day River fish? It's hard to make an assessment.
Some fish wanna fall back. So this seems fine to me. It's par for the course, and we have to do it.
Yeah.
You're planning on spilling 45K when you remove the pipe, because that's your FOP spill, right?
Yeah, whatever spill we're okay. Going to do.
And my other question is, I guess you don't expect the fact that you're going to be doing this test when there's a lot of spill going on, is that going to somehow affect the way your study and how we compare it to past studies? That might be a discussion that we need to have.
I think one of the potential issues there is we're going to have to be careful about interpreting the injury results for those fish relative to, is it having full spill because we didn't have that in the last study, or is it spill based shape now? So we're going to have to be careful on that, but I guess the best we can hope for is that we have made the appropriate change and we'll see those results in the study.
This is the balloon tank study?
Yeah.
So I mean, your key for that is just to make sure that you're not killing fish with a construction.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is your percentage of recovery might be lower.
That's the big issue.
And so what do you assume happened to those fish? Did they die or did you just not be able to find
them? That's why more fish out.
Yeah, that's something we can have a discussion on, because we have plenty of fish at our disposal, so to speak. Since we're going to only end up doing one release, I assumed we were going to increase the sample size to account for if we have a loss in the spill bay. So we may be able to only use recaptured fish and not make assumptions on fish that we've lost.
Right, that's what you have to do.
We have to look at that old data and see if we can look at that the same way, too.
Yeah.
And then sensor fish, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
They will release one sensor fish with approximately a group of every 10 or 12 live fish that they release.
Okay, that's fine. I'm fine with it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so just remind me, you're only going to release near the OG crust? Is
that that's right.
The low release, deep, I think we're calling
release.
It.
Yeah.
That's right.
Deep low, is your favorite term. And then what's our control going to be?
Our control, we had estimated that we were going to release approximately the same sample size and we were going to release them in the bypass flume.
Okay.
So the sample size isn't already predetermined?
Well, we had more, we had other blocks we were going to test, but since time's limited, we're basically just going to because they wanted to test mid-release, low-release, blah, 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 blah.
It was up on the board. We're having those issues.
But they probably will adjust in season if they start to have a higher loss than expected that they don't think is mortality, so that your number for that specific treatment might go up slightly. You have that ability? Yes.
Yes. Yeah, my estimate was that the original sample size was around 350 fish for the deep release, and I estimated it to be 450 just to be safe. And so, you know, if we're lucky, we'll be able to actually reduce our sample size if all goes well. But again, we'll have more fish on hand to adjust as needed.
Yeah, I'm fine with your pipe removal time frame. We'll look at the results and see what we can do with them.
Okay.
So, Brian, you'll make that decision based on recoveries?
Yes, I think that's probably the best thing to do, because if we really do have, you know, full spill and the recapture crew is going to have a hard time collecting those fish, they won't be allowed in the BRZ.
Nope.
You know, we don't know how many they're going to lose, but if they end up losing a lot of fish, then I don't know if we should try to make an assumption of what their fate was.
Unless you see them flying overhead.
Well, right.
Which you could.
Used to.
Or you'd be like the Dalles when all the bass were like eating them like popcorn.
Yeah. Oh,
anybody on the phone, either Fish and Wildlife Service or Idaho Fishing Game, want to comment further?
Well, I just want to make sure that, you know, we're releasing the fish near the crest. We know that is the place with the highest mortality, so we want to make sure that it's described that this is looking at a worst case scenario,
yes,
and not the average scenario.
Yeah. That is right.
All right, thanks, Brad.
Mm-hmm.
No additional comments from the service.
Okay, so it sounds like you're able to move ahead as planned. So I think where we should go next, John, I'm not sure if you're on, but you sent out a Little Goose planned little dive operations, and you were requesting feedback by today's FPOM. Do you want to just give a brief recap on that?
I'm on. I haven't heard any updates on the dive other than that they do plan one. And let's see.
So, I guess I'll go ahead and let people know that part of this that I think is important to all of us is that they finally have been able to have the resources to go after some submerged debris that's upstream of Units 1 and 2 that's actually been in place now for several years. And so I think we have the potential to see some good benefits there. And, you know, there is some difficulty pinning down dates, and I guess we're hoping that people didn't have a problem allowing them to move forward with what they've proposed. Okay, so that said, they did do a debris spill this morning at Little Goose. I assume they were successful, but I'm just giving that as a brief update while we're at Little Goose. It took place at 7 o'clock this morning.
Okay. And they did say in that MOC, if I'm right, they're going to check the anchors for the debris boom.
Yeah, so one of the things that's going on this year is that there is some funding availability to look at a temporary reinstall of the failed debris boom, not during the fish season, but what they want to do is go out and look at those anchor points and some of the condition issues so that they could come back during the next in-water work and potentially put something else back in place. Obviously, the long term is to get that rebuilt and put back in permanently. However, you know, this project has relied heavily for debris control on the fact that they had this boom in place. And so there was a lot of extra labor last year trying to control debris coming into the project and the juvenile collection system. So, yeah, they're moving forward. They want to get some surveying done with divers out there now so they can be prepared for the next in water and get some contracts in place. Okay, the next one, LOMO Unit 1, I think this is the second month we've said MOC coming. We are having a lot of internal district discussion on this. I expect that we will be getting an MOC in the near term. Right now, our path, which we have the time frame on this color-coded that I sent out, is to look at what will be critical for Unit 2 to be reliable during the time period so that we, during a fish passage season, hopefully have some unit available over there for attraction as needed, and so that's kind of what's being discussed among our engineering
staff.
What's
the status of Unit 2?
Unit 2 was supposed to have was supposed to go out in either April or June of this year mm-hmm. for a six-year overhaul and cavitation repair. We are having discussions about whether or not that is really critical now that the situation has changed, that Unit 1 will no longer return until after it's gone through Kaplan. And mm-hmm. so we're having, I'm facilitating, but it's really a technical discussion of people with different expertise than myself, what is critical to be done so that we, Unit 2 will be
so Unit
reliable.
2 hasn't showed any issues, it's just that its time is up and it's ready for us.
Right, it was supposed to go through the six-year overhaul, and so people are identifying which maintenance would be critical and whether during, like, say, the normal Doble testing period, we could perhaps do that during those 2 or 3 weeks. The initial mm-hmm. answer was no. You know, could we do that the next 2 years during then and still have it reliable? So they're working that right now. I just talked to them earlier this week. And so once we have a path forward, then we'll be coming yeah. forward trying to talk about that. It appears that I feel good that we've built some consensus support to really hone in on what's going to be absolutely necessary for reliability, and we've moved away from the convenience of scheduling Unit 2 here because we have to wait for long-term parts, and it was a convenient place to go in. On mm-hmm. the other hand, the engineering folks are recognizing concerns with the FISH group here, having asked for the last 2 years to highlight getting Unit 1 fixed and kind yeah. of stepping back and reassessing, particularly in light of not bringing Unit 1 back on. So I hope to, I believe in within the next month, probably before the next FPOM, that we might get an MOC out, but we are actively working on it, just as an update. Okay.
I just say during this period of time, it's important that we have, you know, either Unit 1 or Unit 2 running there, so if that's something.
I think, yeah, you know, well, let's have discussions with no, what we end up with.
Okay.
There's kind of some areas to, anyway, let's just okay. wait till we put an MOC together and we can have some further discussion on that.
So until then, Unit 2 is available.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we, exactly.
So that changes this pretty purple line here.
That's great.
That's lower no, this is Unit 1. Unit 1 returned to Kaplan. I have changed the pretty purple from last month. That is an adjustment. And the green has also been adjusted. So I just adjusted those in the last 2 days based on current information. Lower Granite returned to Kaplan. That schedule is what we know right now. We are still awaiting them to start bridge crane work, which could influence the schedule. So until we have some concrete path forward, there's really not any point in starting to put together an MOC. So that's okay. our status there. With that, Scott, have you rejoined the call? Okay, Scott hasn't rejoined the call, but we are now at the point where I've passed out the color-coded, and John, I believe you're still on. Basically, what we want to do is call attention to Lower Granite 004 and 005, and these were a couple MOCs that were sent out yesterday afternoon, and they're really meant to try to assist the region with understanding what all the overhaul of the Lower Granite JFF has in store. We've asked Scott and David to work with John in terms of a monthly update to FPOM, and we also have said that just verbally we don't have the consistency of interpretation, and so that's why we went to the MOC here, where this will be written, potentially updated, and then we can do the same thing, work with Tammy, have it out on the website. So kind of seeing these becoming, you know, you were back to the larger document I passed out last time. I kind of think that 004 will become something that people will be able to watch, and then we would potentially look for a new one as we move through the rows here and start a new task. So the one that we have this month is 005, and that is drilling and pouring two more piers. The drilling is to occur, you know, this work is within a distance of the fishway. I believe when it gets, this will occur in April. Starts 30 March, completed by 3 April. Scott, this came out late yesterday. We wanted him to have this out for people. What he told me is that you'd already had discussions of this in Fitterwig and that everybody was aware. And I said, well, you know what? There's really a lot of interpretations in what people hear, so I'd really like to see this get written down so people have it. So with him not on the phone, does anybody coming into this have any comments that they want us to take back or read these, and should anything else, provide us an email or some written comments and make sure that we keep Scott Fielding in the loop.
Well, it's been my expectation all along, and Scott and I have talked about this over and over the past year, that there would be monitoring going on to see about the effect on the behavior of the adults in the lab.
And I don't think they are going to have anything in place until May.
Yeah, that's discouraging. Because we've been talking about this at least a year, but I guess that's just the way the cookies come.
I can't speak for them and their processes. Scott or David could, but they're not on right now.
Yeah.
I did ask the question, though, yesterday when he was coming up here, and he told me that he didn't anticipate that the equipment and the monitoring would start until May. So it is what it is.
Okay.
I believe that they're prepared when they are within the 100-foot to do their work at night, however.
Yeah.
So that they are following what you guys have talked about in terms of concerns. They're just not going to have any equipment in place.
Within 100 feet, they're going to keep it tonight.
That's what I was told yesterday, yeah.
So that kind of goes. He's supposed to join us after his call, so let's.
Yeah, well, it's 11:15 though. It's supposed to be like an hour call. So, okay, we can keep moving because Bill has a. Are we at FPP?
You're at.
We'll get away from him.
Tail Race Oil Sheen.
Yep. Tail Race Oil Sheen. Okay.
Anything else about that?
Last Friday, I sent out a kind of quick and dirty, just a couple sentences. I immediately had an inquiry after I left the office of sending that from Bill as to, how nasty was this. At that point in time, we didn't have the details, and so I asked Elizabeth, and Greg facilitated getting MFR out. But bottom line is they think that it was about a 2-gallon spill, which meant that went into the tail race, and then a percentage of that showed up within the fishway as a sheen down by the South Shore entrance. That's how it was noticed. Within a couple hours, they had the booms and absorbent pads in place, and within that time frame, everything visible within 2 hours of having the booms and the absorbent pads in place was gone within the fishway. At that point Friday, we still didn't know the source of the oil because there's been a lot of work since Unit 1 was turned off and a lot of uncertainty what divers or whomever might have been doing. But since that time, they have determined that it is the oil that's within the turbine. So it's a similar issue to some of the other projects where the packing around the blades in a fixed blade unit that we do have leakage when they've sat for a while and we haven't turned them on. So, however, 2 gallons at just initial startup is minimal compared to what has happened at other places where these have sat for years.
Yeah, we're not boating this that much because I'm fishing, so.
It's got a whole line there.
What kind of oil is it?
It's turbine oil. That stuff is.
Turbine oil?
Yeah, and it's
not vegetable.
No,
but there is it's as safe as you can get for the lubrication required. Yeah,
better than you expect.
It's pretty close to a food grade, I believe.
You know, the thing that I realized, I'm glad you're talking about this. I was thinking it was from Orbit related, but with something that the divers had done putting the bulkhead. But now, this is because of what was in the turbine and got out. Could it have helped in communicating between the people running the auxiliary fish pumps and the timing of starting up that unit, if those could have been shut off?
I think
if we know that this commonly happens,
It's something we can watch if we think that is going to be common. We don't yet know that it's going to be common at Granite. So, right, we're going into the spring now. This unit had set since last October.
Right.
Okay.
So, four months.
Well, I mean, no, it's not keeping running. It's last on, you know, at this point in time. And with this spring forecast, I'm not sure that we expect to run it. We probably won't run it. But then we have, as we'll see on the schedule, you know, we're anticipating taking this out, assuming the bridge crane gets fixed this fall and starting to return to Kaplan repairs.
So I think Bill's point is that if it sits for a month or two, we have a procedure to shut off the intake to the...
No, we can take that back as an inquiry, I think.
Hey,
it's that's good. What we don't need at least be pumping back at the junction.
Yep, right.
Why is there oil in the hub in the first place?
So it could be a Kaplan turbine.
It's not a Kaplan. It's a fixed unit. And no, fixed units.
It's going to go back to being one. And so you have to leave the oil in there so it doesn't rust.
Is that all it is?
His question is related to what we just did at Ice Harbor.
Right.
But... You know, because our schedule is a little sooner here, you know, the month and a half or 2 month procedure to drain the oil for something that's coming out this fall is not necessarily cost effective, if you will.
Okay. So that's why you're leaving it in.
Right. And I mean, with this year, we're not likely to see it unless you guys come back, you know, when we have rental pumps on and want to run it, you know, for some reason. But, yeah.
And the earliest you can capture the oil is.
You know, you have to think about how water comes out of into the tail race, and I believe, you know, you have two major parts, I won't call them stavings, but they're two large divisions within this for each unit, you know, so it comes out and then it boils to the surface as a big boil and it's kind of turbulent, and then you start tracking downstream.
You get a back roll, what's the back roll?
You know, a small amount of oil with the air and that turbulence gets broadcast, and then the vicinity of our fish pumps to unit one is how we got a small amount of sheen then right there at the South Shore entrance, because our fish pumps are feeding the adult channel that runs across the face of the dam as well as the diffusers that are just upstream of the South Shore entrance.
So how does the estimation of leaked volume occur? Is there a dipstick on the turbine and some guy goes and checks it and sees that it's two notches low?
Actually, it's when they have to refill it. They measure how much they put back in.
That makes sense.
They do take care of that.
Yeah, all oil is tightly regulated at this point in time, and all spills are immediately reported. There's a lot of... legal oversight on oil. So, you know, the type of oil, as Bill was asking about, has changed over the years. And what's in there now is the best available from an environmentally friendly standpoint. I'm not going to say that there's no...
Wouldn't want to put it on your salad. But
no.
Right.
It's still oil.
Right.
Can't use olive oil?
It's too expensive.
I'm not maybe. A chemical engineer.
The wrong viscosity.
Yeah.
If you're not, we've asked that question before if they could use food grade, and they said, unfortunately, food grade has a long viscosity. But this stuff is pretty.
Well,
close.
You probably
close,
could.
I think.
The only point of doing that is to keep water out of the hub.
If you're not running it as a Kaplan,
but you don't have time to do all of the switch out. That's the point here.
It's pretty large volume of oil. Yeah, and the cost, etc.
Because you could.
You
do
want
that.
Us pumping it out and putting it on a container on the side of the.
Well, you're careful.
Inside.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, then stuff happens. You're just asking for more.
So, and how long did it operate?
Barrels of oil.
Gallons started it up.
What happened to that barrel
Thursday?
Of oil?
Did it just shut down again? Over there?
You know,
just
I'm
testing
stuff
it.
Happens.
I actually don't know how long Unit 1 operated. Okay. Built.
But it's probably off now. I mean, yeah,
sitting there. No flows.
I would expect, so, you know, they were trying to do all the maintenance before they would shift all their crews over to the nav lock, because we had the nav lock outage during the March of March. There has been kind of some usage to facilitate some of the tremie concrete pouring that isn't yet finished, and that's what Scott, if he gets back on, will tell us if the final unit has been poured, and I'm not sure that he can tell us positive results there.
The gate slots.
Yeah, so a lot of our outside of normal operation has been related to that construction project and facilitating availability for either staff in the air or dive staff.
Are we done with our oil discussion?
I think so.
I think we've killed this one.
All right.
Well, let's avoid operating unit one.
It is last on, first off, so unless we come back and ask for a different operation, that should be what we see.
If it's turned on, I presume there'll be some. Yeah.
And I'll take back to the project the comment of the investigate the time frame of shutting off the fish pumps.
That's a good one. Has to happen, man. Unit one has to be operating.
Good idea.
All righty, so let's shift a little bit and go to number three, which is the Dalles and Wasco PUD. Kurt is here to present some maybe plunge pool data, I believe.